Prologue: The Bite of the Raptor. The tropical rain fell in drenching sheets, hammering the corrugated roof of the clinic building, roaring down the metal gutters, splashing on the ground in a torrent. Roberta Carter sighed and stared out the window. From the clinic, she could hardly see the beach or the ocean beyond, cloaked in low fog. This wasn't what she had expected when she had come to the fishing village of Bahia Anasco on the west coast of Costa Rica to spend 2 months as a visiting physician. Bobby Carter had expected sun and relaxation after 2 grueling years of residency in emergency medicine at Michael Reese in Chicago. She had been in Bahia Anasco now for 3 weeks, and it had rained every day. Everything else was fine. She liked the isolation of Bahia Anasco and the friendliness of its people. Costa Rica had one of the 20 best medical systems in the world, and even in this remote coastal village, the clinic was well-maintained, amply supplied. Her paramedic, Manuel Aragon, was intelligent and well-trained. Bobby was able to practice a level of medicine equal to what she had practiced in Chicago. But the rain, the constant, unending rain. Across the examining room, Manuel cocked his head. "Listen," he said. "Believe me, I hear it," Bobby said. "No, listen." And then she caught it. Another sound blended with the rain, a deeper rumble that built and emerged until it was clear. The rhythmic thumping of a helicopter. She thought, they can't be flying in weather like this. But the sound built steadily, and then the helicopter burst low through the ocean fog and roared overhead, circled, and came back. She saw the helicopter swing back over the water near the fishing boats, then ease sideways to the rickety wooden dock and back toward the beach. It was looking for a place to land. It was a big-bellied Sikorsky with a blue stripe on the side, with the words InGen Construction. That was the name of the construction company building a new resort on one of the offshore islands. The resort was said to be spectacular and very complicated. Many of the local people were employed in the construction, which had been going on for more than 2 years. Bobby could imagine it, one of those huge American resorts with swimming pools and tennis courts, where guests could play and drink their daiquiris without having any contact with the real life of the country. Bobby wondered what was so urgent on that island that the helicopter would fly in this weather. Through the windshield, she saw the pilot exhale in relief as the helicopter settled onto the wet sand of the beach. Uniformed men jumped out and flung open the big side door. She heard frantic shouts in Spanish, and Manuel nudged her. They were calling for a doctor. 2 black crewmen carried a limp body toward her while a white man barked orders. The white man had a yellow slicker. Red hair appeared around the edges of his Mets baseball cap. "Is there a doctor here?" he called to her as she ran up. "I'm Dr. Carter," she said. The rain fell in heavy drops, pounding her head and shoulders. The red-haired man frowned at her. She was wearing cut-off jeans and a tank top. She had a stethoscope over her shoulder, the bell already rusted from the salt air.
"Ed Regis, we've got a very sick man here, doctor."
"Then you better take him to San Jose," she said. San Jose was the capital, just 20 minutes away by air.
"We would, but we can't get over the mountains in this weather. You have to treat him here."
Bobby trotted alongside the injured man as they carried him to the clinic. He was a kid, no older than 18. Lifting away the blood-soaked shirt, she saw a big slashing rip along his shoulder and another on the leg.
"What happened to him?"
"Construction accident," Ed shouted. "He fell. One of the backhoes ran over him."
The kid was pale, shivering, unconscious. Manuel stood by the bright green door of the clinic, waving his arm. The men brought the body through and set it on the table in the center of the room. Manuel started an intravenous line, and Bobby swung the light over the kid and bent to examine the wounds. Immediately, she could see that it did not look good. The kid would almost certainly die. A big, tearing laceration ran from his shoulder down his torso. At the edge of the wound, the flesh was shredded. At the center, the shoulder was dislocated, pale bones exposed. A second slash cut through the heavy muscles of the thigh, deep enough to reveal the pulse of the femoral artery below. Her first impression was that his leg had been ripped open.
"Tell me again about this injury," she said.
I didn't see it, Ed said. They say the backhoe dragged him.
Because it almost looks as if he was mauled, Bobby Carter said, probing the wound. Like most emergency room physicians, she could remember in detail patients she had seen even years before. She had seen two maulings. One was a 2-year-old child who had been attacked by a Rottweiler dog. The other was a drunken circus attendant who had had an encounter with a Bengal tiger. Both injuries were similar. There was a characteristic look to an animal attack.
Mauled, Ed said. No, no, it was a backhoe, believe me.
Ed licked his lips as he spoke. He was edgy, acting as if he had done something wrong. Bobby wondered why. If they were using inexperienced local workmen on the resort construction, they must have accidents all the time. Manuel said, Do you want lavage?
Yes, she said, after you block him.
She bent lower, probed the wound with her fingertips. If an earth mover had rolled over him, dirt would be forced deep into the wound, but there wasn't any dirt, just a slippery, slimy foam. And the wound had a strange odor, a kind of rotten stench, a smell of death and decay. She had never smelled anything like it before.
How long ago did this happen?
An hour.
Again, she noticed how tense Ed Regis was.